Discover the life-changing benefits of Meow Greens for your cat. Ever see your cat slowing down or having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Meow Greens to your cat's food for 90 days, and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, I'm naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Meow Greens, and I invite you to take the Meow Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your cat will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, they're going to have better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch a free Jumpstart trial bag for your cat today. Go to trymeowgreens.com. Use promo code TRYMEOW. That's try M-E-O-W. You discover the shipping. You don't have to change your cat's food to improve your cat's health. Just add a packet of Meow Greens.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. Dell and I are here in Houston. Lance is in L.A. All kinds of draft stuff to talk this morning. He was in the middle of it all last night. And he was right. He was called an idiot. I'm not sure that he's not. This doesn't prove that he's not. It just proves that he was right about Shedeur Sanders and where he would go in the draft. And here we go on an mostly all draft show with the preeminent draft expert in America, Lance Erlein. So I don't want to make this about a Shedeur. Actually, right. I would like to go through the entire draft and hear what you have to say.
Well, why don't you lead with just real quick? I shouldn't even be here because the Texans didn't make a pick, and contractually it says if the Texans don't pick, I don't have to do the show.
No, you don't have that in your contract. And I think Dell put it best on our thread. He said, "Well, you better talk to your boss, Sam." Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's true.
So if Sam doesn't give you the day off, then you don't get the day off. The Texans did not take – they traded out of the first round. And, okay, I want to go through every pick in the draft and your thoughts on each team and what they did. But we should probably start with the Texans and what they did. But did you like the trade?
It was the only thing you could do. To be honest with you, unless you were dying to have Matthew Golden was off too. Honestly, it was a worst case scenario board for the Texans. Yeah. And I told you during the show, I'd had a phone conversation during the show where I'd kind of disappeared, and I came back, and I don't know if you could tell, but I felt a lot less certain about the Texans getting the top, having the top six there for him, that I was a little more concerned. And it was just a conversation with somebody who helped me kind of put some pieces together. And it was when Tyler Booker went 12.
Yeah.
And there were no court, Shedeur, I had heard.
No, let's just stay with the Texans. Okay. Just stay with the Texans.
Yeah. I had heard that Shedeur wasn't going to probably go to the Steelers late. So I'm like, okay, there's one quarterback that's not going to push a player down. So that's a problem.
Right.
And then Tyler Booker going 12 was a problem because now we started the guard run, and that was not ideal, and that was a big concern because I knew Gray Zabel would probably go in the middle rounds, and then Donovan Jackson. So,
well, that was a bit of a surprise, though, the Vikings going right in front of the Texans taking Donovan Jackson.
Well, I thought so, too. I thought they were going to draft corner or safety. But, got off the phone with a friend of mine from another team who said he spoke with Kevin O'Connell, the head coach at the owner. Now, of course, I didn't know this at the time. This is after the draft. And I asked if he was surprised. He goes, I got off the phone. He said, I saw Kevin O'Connell at the owner's meetings. And he asked, what I thought the key was to to sustaining an offensive line, and he said you've got to, because he said they've got that issue with the Giants. And he said you have to protect the pocket from the interior. Your guard, center guard has to be able to protect the pocket. And he said he said they spent about 10 minutes talking about why guard and center are so important, because, and so many people neglect it, because protecting the pocket from the interior is like you have to have that as a foundation. So he thought, this guy thought guard would be in play with Minnesota. I wish I would have known that before, and I wish the Texans would have known that before, because once the 18th pick, Seattle, they took Gray Zabel, and when you look at the board, I didn't see another guard need that was, you know, imminent. And I thought Max Harrison's on the board from Kentucky. I thought a lot of the picks, Will Johnson's on the board, even though he has a knee and a speed issue. And I thought, okay, Minnesota should go corner here. They could go safety, but they'll probably go corner. And when they had Donovan Jackson, the Texans like that traded back because they had been stuck.
Yeah. And so that just proved what you had said earlier, though, about Josh Simmons, too, that they did not like Josh Simmons.
Because
Josh Simmons is still there. Josh Simmons is thought to be a first-rounder. Yeah. Josh Simmons, but he doesn't have the swarm.
No. And look, I do this for a living. The one of the things you have to do is you have to study how teams operate. And the Texans are getting to be kind of, I don't want to say easy to figure out, but they tell you who they are. And so it makes my job easier. It's a lot easier as long as you find out who these guys are. Now it's my job to talk to people who, you know who these guys are. I can't do that from here. And then when I got the intel on Josh Simmons, and then of course there's the knee concern, which I found out was actually a bigger concern on some teams' boards. And then I just having a conversation with somebody in the know who said he's off of a lot of teams' boards.
Yeah.
And that you know, I realized he could fall out of the first, or I mocked him twice to Kansas City. But, yeah, Josh Simmons just was not on their board. He's not swarm.
Well, how about Josh Connerly? What about Josh Connerly? Why not him?
That's a good question. He's got a little – I think they didn't want to settle. I think they had him as a second rounder on their board, and they just didn't want to settle because he would have been a possibility. They brought him in for a top 30 visit, but he needs at least a year, which, you know, it should be fine for the Texans. He needs at least a year. He's not the strongest guy, which is a concern. He's got to get stronger. He's very young. He needs more experience playing. He could end up being a guard. He has left tackle and guard experience. Josh Connerly could have been the pick, but the fact they traded out immediately shows you they wanted a certain type of guy. Now, remember, I had this conversation with you on this show, John. I ask about the personalities of Gray Zabel, Josh Connerly, and Donovan Jackson. I asked two different scouts about him, and they said Gray Zabel's really nice. He's a really nice guy. Donovan Jackson's is tough. He said he's not going to start a bar fight. You remember I told you that?
Mm-hmm.
Not going to start a bar fight, but he's tough. Don't worry about it. And Gray Zabel's got some edge to him. Tyler Booker has a lot of edge to him. And both of them just said, nice kid, you know, really nice guy, not really an ass kicker type. And so I think they're looking for a certain type of player in there, and they just obviously didn't see it with Gray Zabel. This is not – I know this from talking to Chris Ballard in his first draft. He had a player that he really wanted taken right before him, and he said he just flipped out. He was so mad, and he said just immediately trade it out. And because you're not set for – you know, you got your heart set on a player, and you've only got one guy that you think has that value in that spot. Once he's gone and you've been doing a lot of – you know, taking a lot of phone calls, you already know who you can trade with, because there's a lot of phone calls going on during the draft and also before the draft to get a feel for who can move up where. And I also found out that the Texans were not the team that were trying to trade up to 22 or 23. There was a report on during the draft that I think it was either Schefter or Ian Rappaport, somebody said that there was somebody trying to call and trying to trade up to 22 and then 23, and I thought, I bet you that's Nick Caserio. I bet you he's worried about Donovan Jackson going. And honestly, it probably should have been him. It probably should have been where you just, you know, you look at what Philadelphia did. They went from 32 to 31 because they didn't want any chance of Kansas City trading the guy that they really wanted. And I can't remember who 32 was, who picked 31 for the Eagles was off the top of my head. I can't remember.
Jihad.
Yeah, Jihad Campbell. They had a guy, we really want him. He's high on our board. We're not messing with it. We'll go from 32 to 31. You know, hindsight is, but you remember, no one would trade out of those spots. That's the problem is they were reporting that there were teams trying to get up to 22 and 23, but they didn't trade. 22 and 23 did not trade out of those spots. So, but I heard it was not Nick Cassero and it was not the Texans. I got that confirmed. So it's a tough scenario for the Texans. All right. Miss out on all six offensive linemen that probably would have been on the board.
And then it falls off. I mean, so the next best offensive lineman, Arante Ursary, Jonah Savanea.
Yeah, he could be the target.
Jonah could be the target. What, tell us about him.
And Tate Ratledge, too. Actually, you know what? Tate Ratledge is the guy I would keep an eye on. Tate Ratledge is a plays a little bit upright. He's a brawler. He is he's got a mullet. This is something you need to know, a mullet and a mustache, so keep an eye on that. He is
The Texans are mullet kind of guys.
Yeah, I mean he looks like he plays football. Like, he looks like he loves ball.
Oh, Tate Ratledge, that's Georgia. What they need. There's no drip there.
Oh no, I mean it actually fits. And I think I've heard they like him. The one I would be really concerned about
is
Jared
Georgia,
Wilson.
By the way. He's a guard out of Georgia.
He's tall. He's like 6'6". He's pretty strong, very strong hands. But he's more of a brawler. It's not real pretty when he does it. But
I don't want my guard to be pretty.
Well, not pretty physically. It's not going to be real clean when he blocks. He's like in a phone booth just grabbing and mauling, and it can be a little up and down. But he's a clear second rounder. He's one of the few clear second rounders to me at the guard position. And actually, he fits what the Tech. And I think that, well, based on where they traded, Tate Ratledge should be there for the Texans. Unless somebody sees Tate Ratledge and says, we also know the Texans need a guard. Yeah. And so we're going to trade ahead of the Texans. You know, and so there's – but I would watch Tate Ratledge. Please, Jesus, don't make it Jared Wilson. The center from Georgia. I do not want him. He's not strong enough. Jonah Savanea is a tackle turned guard who I think is more of a third rounder, but there's a lot of teams who think he's a second rounder, and we can get into him a little later during the show.
What about Ozzie Trapille?
I like Ozzie. That's Bill O'Brien's right tackle from, but he's a right tackle only. Can't play left tackle. Can't play guard. He's 6'8". He's an average bender. He's a good pass protector. He's a below average run blocker. I think he, you know, my conversation I had yesterday, there's some people who think he comes off the board quickly in the second. His talent is more late second to early third. So that would be, I don't love that for the Texans, I don't think. I don't think he is, they did have him come in. They visited with him in the top 30. And I think he's a pretty good player. He's interesting, worth talking about. Here's some wild cards offensively. Mason Taylor, I think if you want to just go best available, you don't really need a tight end, though, but Mason Taylor could be on the board. He's a guy to keep an eye on. Tate Ratledge, I think, is definitely going to be in play. Arante Ursary can play left tackle, or he's a left tackle, so he's stiff when he plays, but he tests really well like he's an athlete, but you just don't see it on tape. I would be maybe a little bit surprised if it's him. They could go to defensive tackle. There's some pretty good defensive tackles on the board. But
TJ Sanders?
TJ Sanders, not sure if he's sworn.
Shamar Turner?
Shamar Turner's got a leg, has a leg issue that some people has a problem with, that have a problem with, that he hasn't, they don't know that he recovered exactly the way they want. And he's a little undersized. He's like 289, 290
pounds. Umar Norman Lott?
Very good pass rusher.
How about Alfred Collins? We've seen what about Alfred Collins?
Alfred Collins could be a fit. That's a little early for him.
No, but they've got third round picks now. I mean,
yeah, so. Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. And day three, but I think he goes day two. But there's some teams who think he goes day three. He's just gained so much weight over the last 2 years. Is there concern that maybe he's not, you know, doing what he needs to stay in the best shape. And he was a bad tester at the combine. It was a really disappointing process for Alfred Collins. But I'm just so focused on guard and offensive line. And you know what? Now that we're here, John, I'm not sure Gardner, you know, let's go get a good player for the Texans.
Yeah.
You can't just fall into the trap of, what about a guard?
That's what D'Amico told us. I
haven't heard anything from the Texans.
So it couldn't have fallen worse for the Texans, but not moving up.
Worse.
It fell terribly, and so none of those six guys that you had been talking about, you knew a lot of those guys weren't going to last, mm-hmm. but, man, there was a run,
no.
and the Texans ended. When the Vikings took Donovan Jackson, it was just like, oh, my gosh, that could not have been worse. That could not have been worse.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, it's –
What did you think of the trade for the Texans, though?
What did I think of the trade for the Texans? I liked it. I thought it was fine. I thought they got, you know, I thought they got what they were going to get. I didn't mind it. I thought when we don't look at the trade value chart, but when Mike Yam called it out to us, I thought it was okay. Earlier in the day, Nick picked up. Traded some fifth rounders. I thought this was a little strange. He traded some fifth rounders for some sixth rounders, some seventh rounders.
For the Browns?
Yeah, gave himself more ammunition in this draft to either trade up in the later, you know, on day three or, you know, frankly, sixth, seventh round picks. On day three, you can maybe trade up two spots to get your guy and you give up a seventh, stuff like that. Because he had already, remember, he had traded those away for Ed Ingram and who was the other player that he traded and got I think Ed was a sixth rounder and. There's another player that they brought in who they gave up a seventh rounder for. Was it Chauncey Gardner? Was it part of that trade? I think it was part of the trade swap there.
Yeah, they got it. They
the replenished.
Browns. So I got a notification, or JT did, about a half hour before the Texans pick, and he goes, the Texans have traded. Well, it was a notification from our station that they had made that deal with the Browns in the late rounds. I was like, the Texans traded? What'd they trade? And then we get to the pick, and sure enough, they traded, but this time with the Giants. According to the chart, the Texans won the trade with the New York Giants. They got the Giants lost the trade as far as trade value, your trade value chart. The Texans won the trade. I don't know what that's worth since we got to see who they pick. That's the most important thing. We will find that out tonight. 713-780-3776. What did you think of the draft? I want to go through with Lance every pick and see, you know, what he thinks and what, because there were some surprises. And of course, Shador is still sitting there, and ESPN is just tripping all over itself because of it.
Yeah, it's just so, I'm so embarrassed for them. Like,
embarrassed
at Cam Ward. You barely know he was even drafted.
I love what Nick Saban had to say, and we'll talk about that and a lot more. Right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're talking about Doc Linville now. I got into it with a listener yesterday. It just was stupid. I had to mute him because it's ridiculous. Some of the things it got into some ugly stuff. But I thought he was just joking around. It's not funny to joke about somebody's hair. It's just not funny unless it's, you know, like Jackie, who's completely bald, that he doesn't have any hair, so I'm not making fun of his hair. But here's the deal is if you are somebody that is losing your hair, okay, when you get to the completely bald part, dude, you should have done something. And you don't want to be that guy that said, dude, I should have done something. You should do it now. You really should. If you're in your 20s and your 30s and you're seeing that hair thin, you can do something about it. You can stop that process. You really, really can. And Doc has different ways, not just the PRP or the neo-grafting. He's got ways. He knows hair, and he knows how to save your hair. So don't be that guy that just went, oh, I should have done something. No, you can do something. Do it. Do it. Do it now. Do it now by going to 975hair.com. You woke up this morning, and you're looking at your hairline. You're going, oh, crap. Or you're looking at your bald spot. Well, you can do something about it, okay? And it's not cost prohibitive, okay? You can get this done, and you don't want to go the rest of your life bald. You don't? Then you go to 975hair.com, 975hair.com.
Back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 on 92.5. Okay, we got so much to talk about, and it's directly tied to the Texans. The division, I think, I'm not crazy about what the Jags did, but, okay, so the Titans get Cam Ward, okay? Mm-hmm. How much better are they today with Cam Ward?
Well, they're better than they were with Will Levis.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, same kind of arm talent for both players, but I think Cam Ward is a much more – he's a five-year player, 2 years at Incarnate Word, 2 years at Washington State, 1 year at Miami. He clearly got better along the process, so he improved, as you would expect. 5 years of starting experience. So I think that he steps on the field and he's less jittery. One of the concerns with Will Levis when he came out was that when adversity struck, he might not handle it very well. And I think that's the opposite with
Tyler
Cam
Shuck
Ward.
And just threw the ball around. Just under
Yeah, and so...
you saw that Tyler Shuck play, did you?
From the combine?
No. In a game, he threw one... Who was that against Delhi? Just threw it up. I forget who they were playing. But
Tyler Shuck? Oh, yeah. Well, Camp's got some of
Stanford.
It was Stanford?
Yeah.
Against Stanford.
No, I've seen it. Just up in the air. Yeah, that's something like our boy Davis Mills would have done.
A little bit.
Saw when Davis did that in a game, but yeah, Cam Ward gives him a better chance.
It's an Anthony Richardson, Will Levis, and now Tyler Shuck play. Okay, so they're better. They're better today.
Yeah.
I don't like what the Jags did. I just don't.
I don't, man, that's a lot.
That's a lot. So they give up the number 5 pick, right? Mm-hmm. And a 2000 and the 36th pick. And a 4th-round pick and a 1st-rounder next year just to move up 3 spots.
It's wild for a 180-something-pound two-way player.
I mean,
who doesn't have an elite traits. Like, he has an elite play set. Look, I love – he's one of the best – some of the best ball skills I've ever seen in my life is Travis Hunter.
Well,
I like
elite
him a lot.
Skills then, isn't it?
It's elite skills, not elite traits. Like, he's got good speed, not great speed. He's not a 4.3 40 player. He's not, you know, he's not 6'2", 200 pounds, like Jalen Ramsey. That's elite traits. Traits is a lot of times measurables and things like that. He's got some elite play skills. He's got elite instincts, elite ball skills. You turn him into a wide receiver, which is a little safer position for him than cornerback in terms of physically, and you make him I don't see a difference between him and DeVonta Smith. And I like DeVonta Smith. I loved DeVonta Smith, actually. But DeVonta Smith is not somebody that you give up. Travis has got better size than DeVonta Smith. He's in the 180s. DeVonta was in the 170s. And, yeah, Travis can give you snaps both ways. But I really like Travis Hunter. Man, just he's all ball. All he cares about is ball. But football and fishing.
Man, I just ain't giving all that up.
I'm with
Mason
you, John.
Graham. I got their pick coming up.
They could have had Genty. They could have sat at 5 and had Genty.
First rounder next year?
John, this is what it's going to look like. Here's what people are going to do. Ashton Genty was right there to be had at 5. And so what you're going to do now. But I had heard that they were moving. I probably didn't share it on this show. The word was they were looking to move from 5 to 2 and get Travis Hunter. The thought was the Browns would never do this. And the Browns were balking at it early on. And I'm sure what they did was wait, and got the best deal possible. This is a Cleveland team. This is a Cleveland team that panicked with Deshaun Watson. Now they have another team, I think, that panicked and ended up giving up too much to move up and get, you know, just a first next year. Would have been the value to go from 5 to 2. Instead, this is what's going to be compared. You're always going to compare Ashton Genty, next year's first-round pick, whoever it becomes, this year's third-round pick, and Travis Hunter. Like, it's almost –
this year's
I think it's
second
an impossible
–
oh, yeah, I'm sorry, an early second-round
pick.
Yeah,
36th.
Right. So it seems almost impossible for the Jaguars to win this trade. Almost impossible.
I mean, he better be a Hall of Famer for
It's one thing if you were going to have to draft, like, a Mason Graham, who I don't think they loved, but you weren't. You were going to draft Ashton Genty. So, you were going to get a chance to draft Ashton Genty, and you didn't do it. And then the Browns didn't do it. You know, then the Browns passed.
I talked to somebody in the league that said Mason Graham is a top five pick.
Well,
Mason Graham
it depended on the team. Because Mason's not built like a top five pick. He has short arms. He's not really most of the time you don't see defensive tackles like him go in the top five. You see him going to 20 somewhere. But he's a hard player. You know, good for him. Good for him. I have a grade on him that's, you know, a good grade. But in this year's draft, he's like top eight, top nine for me also. So I'm fine with it. There are some teams who just thought you just don't take him over Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah.
Like, even if you don't fundamentally, the Browns, you don't fundamentally believe in your analytics say don't take a running back in the first, Jeanty might be an outlier that you say.
If Ashton Jeanty is awesome, they screw
Oh, he's going to be awesome, too. Yeah. He's going to be awesome, and this is going to be – but Travis has a chance to be awesome, too. It's just, even if both players are awesome, one guy's a running back who's got a chance to score a bunch of touchdowns.
Yeah. Yep. All right, and then the other team in the division, I thought, stole the draft. How in the world the Bears pass on Tyler Warren for Colton? I mean
– it was a close one, John. There's a lot of people who have –
I'm sorry.
I think it's
Tyler
close
Warren
between
is
those
gonna
two.
Be one of the best players in this draft.
Oh, I think the Colts getting him – I think the Colts getting
terrible.
Him was that he just fell into their lap. But look, I love Colston Loveland. I think they would have drafted Colston Loveland had he been there. So
that's
the
great.
Colts would have
Warren is going to be Tyler Warren is going to be a different difference maker in this draft.
I think Colston Loveland could too. I like them both. I can't hate on somebody for having a different flavor of ice cream because I thought they're both. Tyler Warren is the fourth best player in the draft in my estimation, and Colston Loveland was fifth best in my ratings. Actually, sixth. I had Walter Nolan there, and then I moved him down into a boom bust grade. But so I don't really hate it for the Bears. They think what you know. I'd say a majority of the league have a small majority have Warren ahead of Colston Loveland, but it's close. But I'm with you. How does Tyler Warren last all the way to 14?
14.
That's a high football character player, too. And, you know, the Colts, I don't think they were going to draft him earlier on in the process until they brought him in for a personal visit, and then everything changed.
Well,
and now Warren is in the division.
He's a better Dallas Clark, and Dallas Clark was an ass kicker. Dallas Clark was a pain in the ass for years
for
this team.
Well, so look at their offense now. They've got Alec Pierce. They've got Michael Pittman. They've got Josh Downs. They've got Jonathan Taylor. And now they've got Tyler Warren.
They just don't have anybody who can get them the ball.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If Anthony Richardson can't succeed with all of that around him, then, I mean, you know, he's not going to he's gonna have a short leash. I mean, Daniel Jones at some point is probably – going to become the starter. And if he doesn't become the starter, then we're in a lot of trouble in the division because that means the Colts are pretty good.
Yep. All right, let's break. 713-78. We'll let you in now. 713-78. We had to get through some of it, but we're going to go through every pick in this draft at some point. So you keep on listening here to the preeminent draft expert on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now we're talking about HRP. I'm so mad. They have their crawfish boil today, and it's just the best damn crawfish boil you'll ever go to, and I can't get there. And I'm just so mad because and here's the deal with HRP. You're part of the family, and they want you there. All their clients there, they come, and they celebrate, and they talk, and they see what's going on, and they talk business, and they see what's going on with your business, and they try to make it better, but it's a family-like atmosphere. Everybody's having fun. They've got an acoustic guitar there that's playing music and it's just, it's a celebration of, you know, it's like a family celebration, a get-together. It's like a family reunion every year that they do out in the parking lot at HRP, and it's just great. You really, really feel like they care about you because they do. They care about your business. They care about you succeeding. They want to see you succeed with all of the different problems that are posed out there in the business world between your HR, between your payroll, between your taxes, between your benefits packages. All of these things are problems for you and your business. Not with HRP, they handle it and they do it great. And you feel like they care because they do. So if you're somebody that's looking for a great way to get all of this stuff to your company and, you know, and get some crawfish on top of it, HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's get some calls in. You got some thoughts on what happened last night. Lance is here for you. Chris in the Woodlands is first up. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. I called in earlier this week. My comment, I have a comment and a question. My comment is, I hope Israel's listening and climbs out from under the rock that he's under to apologize to Lance for all this Shedeur Sanders talk is my comment. My question is, Lance, why do you think it is that so many ESPN people have it wrong with Shedeur? Is it the blowback they're afraid to get from Deion? Do they actually look at the film and think that he is a top five or seven pick? Or what do you think it is? And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
I'm glad you asked the question. I think it's a – I do know for a fact there are people who are avoiding posting or broadcasting their true thoughts on Shedeur for fear of Deion. That's a real thing. It's a real thing. I've never seen this happen before where I've heard from so many people who, when I put him 29th in my second mock draft, saying that I thought he could fall out of the first, I left the combine and nobody liked him. Like, none of the teams liked him. And it wasn't – what's happened is these narratives are developing that are just inaccurate. This stuff that – you know, all it took is one person to come out – I can't remember who had it – that Shedeur rubbed people. I mean, do you know how often this happens at the combine where players rub teams the wrong way? It happens all the time. This is not unique to Shedeur. I think it's just ignorance of how the draft process works for a lot of people. It's a national narrative that developed unchecked that Shedeur was somehow in the same conversation with Travis Hunter. It's the idea that quarterbacks, no matter what, get pushed up draft boards, no matter what, even though we've seen with the E.J. Manuel and Geno Smith fall in 2013, we've seen with the Kenny Pickett draft in 2022, it's not unusual. What happened last year was six quarterbacks in the top 10 or whatever it was. And we saw it happen in 2021 where we had a bunch of quarterbacks early. That's just not a lock. It's not a lock. I don't think they're watching. A lot of them just don't watch any tape. And there is some fear. Some people, it's fear of Deion and retribution from Deion and, you know, being called out. It's not fun. Look, it's not fun it's not fun being critical of certain quarterbacks. A lot of times it's black quarterbacks, unfortunately, where you like there's people who come after you and it's and say that it's a racist narrative or it's a racist mock draft or whatever. That's ridiculous. We just have jobs to do. Like I'm trying to give an opinion about what I think is going to happen in a mock draft. It has nothing to do with race. I want any and all of these guys to succeed. So, you know, people just avoid that. They don't like that smoke. From the blowback from the public, they definitely don't like the blowback from Deion, which I've never seen anything like that in my conversations. And I think a lot of it is, it just people aren't watching tape. Like, you can't, most of these guys can't watch. They don't have time. They're covering the NFL. They just don't have time to watch all the players. I wrote Shedeur, and his grade never changed for me. It was a 6.30. That's like a bottom half of the second round grade. Now, I expected him to go on the first, and I would have been fine with him going on the first. I think he's definitely the second best quarterback in the draft. Cam Ward, for me, was a top half of the second round grade. Now, that's different than where I project him because he's a quarterback. Jackson Dart, I have, is a third round grade. And I said that on this show before. I said it on Coward the other day. I just, you know, that's not where guys go. But I think the narrative just got way, way out of control. And we didn't really do – that wasn't – on NFL Network, we didn't do that. But on ESPN, it was – I mean, the narrative was built so out of control. And I heard – I was doing a broadcast. I heard Mel Kiper was freaking out. Look, if you do some homework behind the scenes, you'd know that 21 was the only spot. Once he got past 21, and once free agency ended, you knew, okay, the Raiders are now officially off the board. I had heard the Saints Shedeur was not a first-round consideration for them. I heard the Giants weren't a first-round consideration for them, that they liked Jackson Dart. And I said it, I think, on this show yesterday. But once you get past, you think about this. If you do this for a living, what you do is say, okay, where are the landing spots for quarterbacks? And when I did my second mock draft and I had Shedeur falling, I didn't expect him to fall that far. But I'm like, okay, I don't see him going here to six. I don't see him going here seven to the Jets. Now, this is even before free agency, so I was taking liberties based on what I'd heard from the combine. And then you start keep going. You're like, well, 18. Once again, that's before Sam Darnold. Well, now you plug all these players in, Justin Fields at the Jets, Sam Darnold at 18, Geno Smith at 6 with the Raiders. You realize, holy crap, it gets to 21. I thought he was going 21 until I had a phone conversation a couple days ago that said, no, there's, you know, that's kind of smoke that's out there that they're letting build you know, that the Steelers are letting build, but they're probably not going in that direction. I'm like, oh, my gosh, if that's the case and he doesn't go 21, now there is no spot for any quarterback unless somebody trades in from the second round. And I expected the Giants to make the Giants and Saints to make a move for Jackson Dart. It was going to be a race to see who would go get him in the first round. And I think the Giants were the ones that were aggressively seeking to go to 22, then 23, and they ended up with the Texans at 25. I think that was the Giants making those phone calls, trying to get up there because they really wanted Jackson Dart. Once Jackson Dart was off the board, I knew Shador was cooked, and Tyler Shuck and anybody else.
Yeah.
And now when you look at it, John, you got the Saints and you've got you know, the Saints and you got the Browns who have a desperate quarterback need. We'll really find out what their grades are on Shador Sanders and Tyler Shuck and Jalen Milroe. Milroe is a real wild card. There's some teams who supposedly really like him.
No, there's...
I swear to God,
oh
I can't I can't stop hearing this. And
you
well, watch football the same way I do. Though. That's what I'm saying. If you watched him at quarterback, like he was really not great as a pocket quarterback. So, but there's some teams that really like him. I think it's because he's an explosive athlete, and they'll figure it out. Kind of like in recruiting, where you got a five-star ATH, you know, athlete, and you just want to get him in the building, and you'll figure it out. That's kind of what it. That's kind of what it is. But
right,
I think the Raiders. I think Tom Brady and the Raiders.
This whole segment's been Shador.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Fatigue. All right, let's get Ben in here. Hey, Ben.
Hey, how y'all doing? Hope y'all can hear me okay. Can I three things real quick? Monday, I didn't get to do the. What did you learn for the weekend?
Yeah,
my kids were in the car. My kids were in the car, so I couldn't call. And but I just want to say, my wife's peach cobbler is not as good as my mom.
Oh God!
Oh yeah, you can't say that in front of kids.
I hope she's not listening.
Cannot say that in front of the
kids. No.
My wife does not support sports like I do.
good. Okay.
But anyway, also last night ESPN has this thing where they do. On the app, you can do, like, the draft tracker. So I know I'm a good GM because NFL 2K and Madden said I am.
Uh-huh.
So I know I'm good. So I've won, like, six Super Bowls on there. So I know I'm good. So last night I made the first two picks, and I was 2-0. And I said to my wife, I said, I told you I'm a good GM, you know? And so – but the next 12 picks, I went 0-for-12, and I fired myself. So I didn't pick any more after that. So instead, I was watching the OKC game, and they were down 29, and I saw Ja Morant get knocked out the game. And I was like, you know, they're losing by 29. My hand was on the remote. I was about to get out of that game. But I stayed with it. I stayed strong. And all of a sudden, I see them boys. I'm going to tell you this. Caruso should have been – in the defensive player of the year category because he locked up Jaren Jackson and he may have stolen the ball from Zach Edey sometimes, but that boy is cold blooded. I mean, I love his defense and he can defend anybody.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say that because
Go ahead. We got to move on. We appreciate it, Ben. That was a hell of a.
Can we talk about that? Like I did. Mason texted
comeback,
me. Unbelievable. How do you lose a playoff game down 26? Bucky Brooks was sitting right next to me, paying attention to the scores. He goes, "Oh my God, Memphis is blowing it." I'm like, "What?" He goes, "They have a huge lead on the Thunder, and it's going away
First
right
of all,
now." I'm
how
like,
do you
"What?"
Go up 26 on the Thunder, and secondly, how do you blow it? Holy
yeah.
crap!
And Ben. If you hope you're still listening, one of the reasons why Alex Caruso wasn't available to win it because he didn't qualify. He only played 54 games. You got to play 65.
Yeah, you got to play 65.
So he wasn't eligible to even be voted on to win the award.
Yeah,
but he was great last night. Jaren Jackson Jr. had a tough time late in that game. Grizzlies couldn't find offense, and the Thunder came back.
Yep. That was incredible. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. Let's break. We got phone calls. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. We're going through this entire draft this morning right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But John Daspit first.
Yeah, and John Dasmid is the personal injury lawyer who he actually was. I was on a text string with a bunch of people on there, and some of them that you guys listeners would definitely know the names. And he was talking about a guy he used to hang out with back in high school who was close to Cam Ward in high school, and said, "What are these guys?" Way back when he was at high school, said, "What are these guys not seeing Cam Ward? How's he going to Incarnate Word?" Now he's the first pick of the draft. So, you know, John's a huge sports fan, has been his whole life. He's from here in Houston. He's had all the ups and downs that we have from a sports standpoint, and still loves to follow sports religiously. Listens to the show every day, all the segments. And he does that after he's done with all of his work for the day. So many times it doesn't happen at night. He works tirelessly, day and night, for people who have been wrongly accused, not wrongly accused, who've been injured because of someone else's negligence. He fights for the injured. He pursues justice for the injured. And he's going to make sure that the insurance company doesn't squeeze you. There's so many people who don't deal with a John Dasmid who end up getting crushed by insurance companies and not getting a fair settlement for their pain and suffering, not getting a fair settlement for their time missed from work. They don't even know that they're entitled to that, and they don't get what they should be getting for not just the medical bills, but they're not going to to get the x-rays and MRIs and the things that they need to make sure they unearth any issues that you have that need to be corrected, and that's going to be covered by the insurance company. Don't be that person. Just call and let John Dasmid handle it in his law firm. 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or go to the website for more information at DasmidLaw.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here. We got a lot of calls here, Lance, but let's try to get through these things quickly so we can get more people in, and we got to get a lot more stuff. So let's get through quickly whoever calls in here. Kim, let's get Kim in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, Kim.
Hey, guys. How are we doing this morning?
What's going on?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Go ahead. My question was about the Denver Broncos pick last night. I think a lot of us were confused why we didn't go with Hampton or Golden was sitting there as well. I guess my question is, was it more of a best player available, or was that just maybe thinking that tomorrow or tonight that maybe a running back will be there that we like better? I understand that it's a good pair with PS2, and our division is only getting tougher. Clearly, Hampton went right after us for the Chargers, so mm-hmm. I guess I was just kind of wondering what that was about.
Yeah, I was surprised they didn't go O'Marrion Hampton. I'm trying to remember who the Broncos picked. Who did they have, John, in the first round? They skipped on who the Broncos take at 20. This is way too early for me to remember this kind of stuff.
The Broncos?
Let me see. Round one.
The kid Broncos came up and had,
Oh, it was Jahdae Barron. Yeah, I was a little surprised by that, but they do need cornerback. He can play safety. Jahdae Barron can play safety. He can play corner. You know, really, frankly, it's probably Sean Payton saying, you know what? We've got Justin Herbert in our division. We've got Patrick Mahomes in our division. We're trying to win at a high level in the AFC. I think they, from what I understand, they were really trying to move up for Colston Loveland. This is a team that made a lot of calls trying to move up for Colston Loveland. They couldn't get him, so I think they just pivoted and said, all right, let's get the highest guy on our board. And if you want to win in the AFC, you're going to have to deal with Mahomes. You have to deal with Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow. You know, at some point, your secondary has to be really good. So I love Pat Surtain. I think he's the best DB. Well, he and Derek Stingley, best DBs in pro football. So I didn't mind it. That's a big position to need too. It's just so many people had plugged in O'Marrion Hampton, the running back, but it's a deep running back draft. So Denver can just go get a running back somewhere. That's
so
not going to be a problem.
We got people calling in all the time. We'll get to more, but I want to tell you, Lance, we had one call who was very complimentary of your analysis, says he doesn't do a lot of draft stuff, so he's listening and he appreciates it. And then on the other end of the spectrum, we had someone call in and say, you look like Zordon from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
You don't know. Do I look like him?
How you're set up now.
Zordon?
With the lighting. You look like Zordon, which was the guy who put the
power. Oh, my God. I do look like Zordon right now.
So both ends of the spectrum
crazy.
For you today.
Yeah, because my lighting is not great in here. I mean, it's 5-something in the morning here. I'm trying not to wake up anybody on either side. I haven't gotten any complaints, but I don't want the light. Yeah, this is – and I've got a black curtain behind me. I am Zordon.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either. I didn't know until just now, but I'm going to put the whole black curtain completely behind me.
It's a disembodied head.
Oh,
with bad lighting. That's what he looks like.
I can't. You got to include me on the.
No, someone called. I didn't send him a text.
I know, but I want to see the. I want to see the
Zordon. Zordon.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty good.
I want you to put me on the threesome.
Whoa. We all want to be put on threesomes, but that's not what we're talking about on this show.
I want to see the video, what we're doing
here. Okay, I'll get you set up.
All right, who's next? We got a full board now. People just want to hear. But let's go through quickly. Who's up?
Yeah.
It is Jason. Jason, what's your thoughts on the draft last night?
Yeah, so 4 offensive linemen ended up going in the top 10. Has it been confirmed who exactly the Texans were trading up for? Was it Tyler Booker? Was it Kelvin Banks? Are we sure it wasn't an offensive player? You know, it's kind of more of a big splash. And will it be confirmed if it hasn't already?
No. That was just a rumor. I checked in yesterday. The Texans didn't try to trade. Well, they weren't the ones trying to trade to 22 or 23. I think that was a Giants. So the Texans weren't trying to trade up. I think they were letting the board try to come to them. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, I'll keep repeating.
No. Nick came on last night and said he was trying to trade up.
Oh, okay. See, I haven't heard all that stuff.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we're going to play it right after this. So,
I'd like to hear that. I didn't get to hear D'Amico. I didn't get to hear Nick. I'll send you guys a text here in a second that you both will find interesting. But my guess is they were trying to trade up to land either – well, once Booker was off the board, either Zabel – my guess is it was Zabel or Donovan Jackson, either one. I would be shocked if it was anything other than that offensive lineman. I would be shocked.
Yeah.
And them, man. I feel bad for the Texans. I feel bad for – we cover them here. Man, Donovan, we had him on the air, John.
Yeah.
Would you have been pumped if Donovan Jackson was a Texan? I would have been so pumped. Been
All right, we've got a few questions that we got to answer because I've seen it a few times. What about Luther or Jaden Higgins?
Jaden Higgins could be
Luther Burden or Jaden Higgins.
Luther Burden is, I think, the most talented wide receiver in the draft. I think people are just sleeping on him because of his production this year. His quarterback wasn't any good. Frankly, Brady Cook stunk. They used him with a bunch of hitch routes and stuff like that. Yeah, there's some talk about he's a little bit of a diva, but he's a wide receiver, whatever. He was a 5-star prospect coming out, really, really talented. I would like it from a football standpoint if he were a Texan. I think it's an immediate help for the offense. I don't know if he's the D'Amico kind of guy or not, but I would love it if he were the pick. And I think, to me, I have him ahead of Matthew Golden and Tet McMillan. I've got him way up there with a higher grade, but I just, you know, some teams didn't see it the same way, and I think they're sleeping on it. You got to go watch certain routes with him, and his ball skills and competitiveness are really good.
What about Trey Harris? Fast.
I like Trey Harris, but he's probably a third rounder. Yeah. He's probably
in the third round. I mean, we're talking about that this is they got a couple of picks here, so
yeah, you know, I later on in the show, let me pull some stuff up and I'll give you some targets that you can look for the Texans, because I think we know what their needs are, so I can really fine tune this. I need to pull my board up and we can do it later in the show, a little bit later in the show.
Okay, let's get Dave in here. Hey, Dave.
Hey, I know we don't want to talk about Shador, but it's more about the Steelers. I'm a lifelong Steeler fan, and we've just been blowing drafts lately. We've been blowing drafts. You look at, and I'm not saying this in hindsight. I've been saying this since night one. You look at Lamar Jackson. He was on the board. They took a cornerback who was out of the league in 2 years. Next, Jalen Hurts come up. He was on the board. They took Claypool. Now Shador comes up. I don't know what's going on with that team. I'm taking a break from them. I'm a full-fledged Texan fan now. Thank you. I'm out.
Welcome. Welcome. They've had some. And, you know, that Kenny Pickett pick was Mike Tomlin's pick. And Mike Tomlin supposedly loved Kenny Pickett's swagger when he came in. You know, he came from Pitt. They had seen him in the building. Mike Tomlin famously said, boy, He's got a lot of swagger, this, that, and the other. I think it was false confidence. He was a one-year wonder. That's the problem with those one-year wonders. And he missed on that. I thought they were going Shadur. I think they had everyone fooled. I think Mike Tomlin does like him. But, you know, the rumor on the Steelers is they're going to go after Kirk Cousins. So that's the rumor I heard yesterday, is that their plan involves might involve Kirk Cousins. And if that's the case, it would make some sense why they would pass on Shadur, I guess. Because anybody, whoever drafts Shadur, you know the fans, like, everyone's going to be waiting for Shadur to take over. There's going to be some conflict there. But the Steelers are the one team that are strong enough, and Mike Tomlin is strong enough to fade all the,
it ain't like,
you know,
they still can't get him. It ain't like,
no, they could. Yeah. No, they could. They could. So, but Steelers, you know, have had some bad. He's not wrong, though. Man, no. The Chase Claypool pick. Yeah.
Wow. All right. 713-780-3776. Let's break. Stay on target. We will take your calls. Lance will answer them. And we got a lot more to do. 713-780-3776. You can also tweet us at John Granato, at Lance Erlein, at DelV2. I'm talking right now about game day men's health. I'm talking about how you feel. I'm talking about, did you wake up this morning feeling great? Did you wake up this morning ready to go? Did you feel focused? Did you feel well rested? Because, oh, that's another thing. They got peptides to help you sleep. They got peptides to help you wake up. They got peptide. I mean, you know, it's not a bunch of drugs. It's a bunch of really good stuff that you put in your body to make you feel good, including testosterone. Now, get an evaluation of what you of where you're at. Where they're going to take blood tests. They've got labs on sites. What the other guys don't. They have experts that are going to help you out. They've got peptides that will help you out. They've got ways to make you feel better in the morning, in the afternoon, at night. All of those things. They have. It's just going to make you better. Whatever your goals are, Game Day Men's Health will help you get there. It's what they do every single day. They got locations all over the city now. Go to GameDayMen'sHealth.com. It's just different. A free evaluation while the other guys are charging you. They're not going to charge you to find out whether or not you are going to be a client of theirs. That's just ridiculous. Do you pay somebody to give them more money? No, that's ridiculous. Game Day Men's Health is here for you. You want? I love what they're doing. I've been doing testosterone a while, and I love the way Game Day Men's Health goes about it. GameDayMen'sHealth.com.
Discover the life-changing benefits of Meow Greens for your cat. Ever see your cat slowing down or having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Meow Greens to your cat's food for 90 days, and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, I'm naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Meow Greens, and I invite you to take the Meow Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your cat will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, they're going to have better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch a free Jumpstart trial bag for your cat today. Go to trymeowgreens.com. Use promo code TRYMEOW. That's TRYMEOW. You discover the shipping. You don't have to change your cat's food to improve your cat's health. Just add a packet of Meow Greens.